we've been trying to convince people that it's a lie that the devil's not in the details, that God is in the details. The problem is we don't look at the details. With God, we always look at the big picture, and we never look at the minutia. And God is the God of minutia. Every little details. We want to be like the prophet who didn't want to answer when God asked him the question, can these bones live again? Because the prophet knew the bones can't live again. So he gave the answer, you know. Kind of like the disciples. You know, when Jesus would ask them questions, and Peter would say, you know. And so the whole idea, I want us to look at, we talked about last week, the idea of God doesn't own us. Even though he says you were bought with a price. We have to make a conscious choice every day. You know, that's why Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And that's why Elijah said it again on Mount Carmel, choose you this day, you know, who you're going to serve. And when you think about the odds that day, it was, I mean, think about it. 1 against 450. I don't think any of the odds takers in Vegas would have given Elijah a shot. However, God is in the details. And so I want us to look at a detail this morning that we probably, and it's not our fault because it's the way things are written. And when you study, you just, we look at it and we go, something's not right. It's just not right. And you can read it over and over and over again, but you just can't get it because that's not how God wrote it, or that's not how he said it, but there's no way, there's some things that just don't translate. So, I want us to start in Psalms chapter 63, beginning with verse 3. Because last week we were in Song of Solomon, which is about, we said Solomon wrote to his true love. Remember, he had more than he should have wives, and then he had concubines, and we said Solomon had one wife that he really loved. All the others were of convenience, you know, for this agreement or that agreement, kind of like Hagar, you know, was of convenience. And how did that work out? And so when you go for what the world wants, it doesn't always work out. But Song of Solomon was written about his true love. But we're going to start in Psalms, because Psalms 63:3 says, my lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. So I will praise you as long as I live. At your name, I will lift up my hands. And the ushers will make you leave. You satisfy me as with rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. He's talking about here, he's talking about a God that I'm just not satisfied to say, I love you. I'm just not satisfied to say thank you. We have a friend whose wife told him, I guess it was their 10th or 11th anniversary. She says, You know how long it's been since you told me you love me? He said, I told you when we got married. How many times do I have to tell you? Yeah. That, and people, God loves for us to tell him what we think of him. That's on the good days and the bad days. If you're upset with him, he loves for you to tell him, you know, what were you thinking when you sent? You know, kind of Kay could have said, hey God, what were you thinking, especially after the test? Well, you scared me to death when you told me I'm going under the knife. What were you thinking? Tell him what you're thinking. Yeah, that's what he's saying here. If I am your love, you can share anything with me, and it's okay. But it goes further than that, because in the Song of Solomon, he puts it this way. And this is where we learn. This is where the details come in. There's so many details in the Song of Solomon, because remember, Song of Solomon, Solomon's writing this to his wife, the one wife. Solomon only really had one wife. That's the one he loved, the one he wrote this book to. However, he had lots of what the world would look at, and we even call them wives. And so, in Song of Solomon chapter 1, he says, verse 2, oh, that he would kiss me with kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. You have to understand, wine was extremely pleasurable back then. Wine, good wine, even today. We're not talking about Mad Dog 2020. You know, we're talking about good wine. I don't know if you've ever seen these people. They're kind of nuts. You know, they'll take wine and they'll swish it around in their mouth, and they'll go, first they'll go, oh, nice bouquet. There's something about wine. Well, the same was true back then. You know, there was, remember the wedding feast where Jesus was? They said, why did you save the good, the best to last? And some people will try to tell you, well, that meant it was grape juice. I don't know what it was. All I know, it was impressive because everybody noticed. But there's something about it. And because we look at this and it says, here, your love is more delightful than anything the earth has to offer. And we look at it that way, and we miss the idea, because it's translated, your love is more delightful than wine. But in the Hebrew, it doesn't say that. In the Hebrew, he uses the word, actually it would be ketonmev, dedeka mi yayin. Your loves, not your love. Your loves. He has to break out and say, in order to describe you, singular can never do it. It just can't encompass what you have. It's not your love, is what your loves. You are more anything I ever need. Your loves are more delightful. What does the world have to offer you? We've told you before that the world has happiness. You know, even as much as I like Disney, it's always happily ever after. Jesus doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be joyful. Joyful comes from within. That's how we can praise God, Mary, when we fall out of a van. Onto that knee that I've been praying for healing. The way to get healing is not to injure it again, or so we may think. But he says, your loves. See, God is in the detail. Why would he use that? God knows the difference between singular and plural. Why would he write it that way? Because the same reason he says when Moses said, who should I say sent me? And what was his answer? I am. I am. That makes no sense. You are what? Well, when you need food out there in the desert, I am your food. When you need water, I am the water. That's what he's trying to get across here. He says, it's the loves of God. See, the word love cannot adequately describe, because the word love, don't make me turn it off. Yeah. The word love is so perverted by man that God says, you think of one thing when you think of love. What's in it for me? Isn't that the way we look at things? I mean, that's the way we answer. Maybe you've never heard this, but I've heard it from couples. If he loved me, he would. If she loved me, she would. Yeah. What's in it for me? And God says, that's not it. Love just is. See? And when he says, for your loves is more delightful than wine. He's saying, when you need mercy, my love is merciful. When you need strength, my love is encouraging. When you've been wounded, my loves are tender. It's more than one. It's not just one. It's all of them. When you are sick, my loves are healing. When you need a friend, I am the friend that sticks closer than a brother. It doesn't just boil down to the one thing. It's so all-encompassing. And we just want to nail God down. We say, God is love. And he's not. God is loves. It's everything. What is it that you need? What is it that people long for? There's a difference between being lonely and being alone. And God says, you're never alone. So if you're lonely, it goes back to last week. That's a choice you just made. Because if there's no one else to talk to, like Mary was saying, she was having a conversation with, I bet you had a conversation with God when you fell out of the van too. Yeah, might have been a different one than you had at home, but you still, see, that's the thing. He says, whatever it is, my love, when you need to be lifted up, I'm your father. I'm the one that will lift you up. If you remember several years back, we talked about how eagles learn how to fly. They put the baby on the father's back and he takes them up. Yeah. And the baby eagles feeling the G forces as they're climbing, And then when he gets way up there, the father eagle turns over. And the baby just starts falling. And he can't fly. And he's flapping, but he ain't flying. And he's gone, and he's falling, and he's falling. And I don't know if you've ever jumped out of an airplane or been to parachute school, but let me tell you something. Things get bigger real quick when you're descending. And so I know the baby eagle's going through that. And he's not flying. And what's going through the baby eagle's mind is, what was he thinking? And he breaks out his little eagle phone and goes, OMG! And just before he hits, the father swoops down and catches him on his back and takes him up again and drops him again, and he falls again. And just before he hits, the father catches him. And he keeps doing that until the baby eagle flies. And the lesson for the baby eagle is what we need to learn. My father can fly faster than I can fall. That's the loves of God. That's what he's trying to teach us. That's what he's trying to get across. When you need to be lifted up, Mary, I know you fell, but your father can fly faster than you can fall. He's always there. He's always more than enough. It's not the love of God. It's the loves of God. Because you see, I know there's a song what the world needs now is love, sweet love. If love was enough, everybody would be saved. Love isn't enough. Loves is. See, when it's plural, there is nothing that God's loves can't cover. There is nothing that God's loves won't do. That's why he says it's more delightful than anything the world can offer. It's more delightful than anything that Solomon, Lord knows Solomon tried, what was it, 400, 450, 700, I think total he had 1,100 women in his life. That has to go under the, you know, I know God's looking and going, Gabe, what was he thinking? What was he thinking? Just one more? Just one more? Then I'll be done. Then I'll be happy. And what did Solomon learn? He should have stopped at once. He should have stopped at one. There is nothing in the world, there is nothing in this world that is all-encompassing. I know some people think that if somebody just, have you ever wondered if my ship would just come in? If this investment would just happen? I don't know if you were listening during testimony time. It's not about the size of the ship. It's about the cargo you're carrying, people. Because my Bible tells me, with the same measure you give out, that's what you will receive. Little given, little received. And it's true. That's why God didn't send an ambassador. He came himself. Because unless you give it all, we have one of the songs we sing sometimes, and maybe we'll do it sometime, because I have a picture of Matt. I think Matt was about 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, and the song is, What If I Give All? And Matt's putting a dime, I think, in the offering chest. Yeah. Well, what would happen And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about, what if you really trusted God with your knee, your hearing aids? Ooh, there was Jesus calling this week. What if you really trusted God with your children, with your spouse? What if I said, you know what? The loves of God will get me through. My spouse isn't going to get me through. And he proved to me that your 401k isn't going to get you through. You know. Banks aren't going to get you through. Pastors aren't going to get you through. For goodness sake, you're not even going to get you through. There's only one thing that can get you through, and that's plural. The loves of God. The loves of God. Because they surpass anything that's on earth or anything that earth could ever provide. If you don't believe that, just look at the news. I mean, think about every time you turn on the news, they'll say, his closest friend flipped. And like I said in class that I said to Kay the other day, I said, they never were a friend. They never were a friend. If they'll flip, could you imagine? Jesus says, anyone who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Carol, you did what? Yeah. My love isn't enough. When mercy isn't enough, compassion kicks in. There's always more. There's always more. That was the parable of the sower. That was the lesson in the fish and loaves. There was always more. And after everything was done, guess what? There were 12 baskets left over. There's always more. God could have fed the 5,000 out of one basket. Why did he use 12? For the same reason. It has to be plural. It has to be. It has to be. God is in the details of it. He could have just set up a table and said, come on by and get it. I don't know if you've ever been to fellowship dinners and how long it takes to get through the line. Some people stay seated or go to a wedding. Why don't they feed the people first and take the pictures later? You ever wonder that? I mean, we can eat. But we went to Willow Creek, and they had 5,000 of us in the sanctuary. And they said, we're going to have lunch, and we'll meet back here in 45 minutes. 5,000 people. And I'm not talking sandwiches. At Promise Keepers, there were 55,000 in RFK. Don was there with us. And what they did there, they just stood up and, since we were at RFK, I guess they figured they could pass them. And they just threw box lunches out until 55,000 people had them. And we ate. But at Willow Creek, you went through the line, you sat down, and you ate. And within 45 minutes, they had everybody through the line and back into the next meeting. How did they do it? I was there, and I still can't explain it. I don't know how they did it. So if they could do it, I know Jesus could have done it. But he chose not to. Why? Because of that one word. My loves are more delightful. So you get to choose again. Last week it was, who are you going to serve? This week it's the world. I'm here to tell you, anybody that tells you the world doesn't have anything to offer, they're lying. They're lying to you. The world has a lot to offer. for a season. But Jesus says, this is better than anything. Anything you've ever experienced. I went to college down in Tennessee, and I went through my college in 18 months, so I didn't have time to take 2 years of grace. So I ended up taking a year and I think it was 6 weeks. Yeah, and I don't recommend it to anybody. But I was a Church of God school, you know, Lee College, and here I was a conservative, you know, really conservative Christian, and things, there are some things Christians just don't do, because if they do, they're not really Christians. And one of them is being filled with the Spirit so much that you can't control it. So here I am at Lee College, and we're getting ready to have a test. And I remember writing on the board one day, Greek is a dead language, as dead as it can be. First it killed the Greeks, and now it's killing me. Yeah. And now we're in a test. I can't remember anything. The only thing I remembered was the alphabet. Yeah. That's the only thing I knew. Put the letters together, had no clue what it meant, but I could read it. And so he gives us a paper in Greek, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking it's Greek to me. When all of a sudden, two guys get up from across the room, Mary, and they grab my head. It was like putting it in a vice. And they start. I mean, they're gone. I mean, they're praising God, and they're going off in tongues. And I'm thinking, Jesus, help me now. Just get me out of here. If you get me out of here alive, I'll serve you the rest of my life. You know? And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the paper, and it was like it was written in English. And I'm going, there must be something to the Spirit that they're talking about. So I went up to the professor afterwards. I said, look, I don't understand this. Because when you all pray, he'll say at the beginning of class, let us pray. And everybody starts praying at the same time. Everybody's kind of like when we were singing, when you were playing that day. Everybody's singing the same song with different words. And that's what it was like. I said, I don't understand it. He said, that's because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. He said, but let me tell you something. If the Spirit ever gets a hold of you, it's better than anything the world can ever offer you. It's unexplainable. He said, better than any experience you've ever had in finance, better than any experience you've ever had in marriage, better than anything. It can't be explained because it's the loves of God, and you finally see it. It's what the disciples got in the upper room. That's what they finally realized. That's what they finally realized. That it's there's more than what the world has to offer. There's more than what the church has to offer. What God has to offer has no limits. What do you mean, no limits? You'll do greater things than I've done, Jesus said. That's no limits. That's having somebody come up and play the piano, and nobody knows what they're going to play, and nobody knows what they're going to sing, but they play and they sing, and still nobody knows. And everybody walks out of here praising God. See, that's the details of the Spirit being poured out. We've seen it, but you know, not too much. You know, I'll take this much, but not too much. Bless me, God. But bless me within limits. That's why he says in Ephesians chapter 3, we'll begin halfway through 17, and he says, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in loves, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's loves. I mean, have your mind play with that. Maybe you've seen the commercial. It's for an insurance company. I don't even know which insurance company now. But they'll go, if a tree falls on my house, you're covered. If lightning strikes my house, you're covered. If a flood comes, you're covered. That's what this is saying. Let your mind play with that, with God. What is it that God can't do? What is it that God won't do? I'll tell you what God won't do. He won't do what you don't ask Him to do. He says, you have not because you ask not. And I know you say you're my child. However, when you ask, you don't believe Daddy's going to do it. So why would I do it? I give you exactly what you expect. If you don't believe I'm going to do it, why are you even asking? One of the things Carol said, where God shows up is up at the storehouse. Ivy asked me when we got back from Tennessee. She said, what are you preaching on? And I say, well, I tell Kay all the time, sex, money, love, God. Take your choice. She says, well, when do you prepare? I said, yes. I said, I don't care if I'm at Dollywood, Disneyland, wherever I am, I'm listening for what God has to say, not with what Dolly has to say. Because God may use Dolly. See, one of the things Dolly said was, she came out, you know, and she's on the screen, she said, it costs a lot of money to look this cheap. Yeah. See, that's what I think about this place. I mean, it costs a lot of money to look like a warehouse. But God says, and you should tell all the other churches they need to bring their offering chest here, because it says, bring all your offerings into the storehouse. Yeah. Yeah. That's biblical. Remember, God is in the details. So he says, the problem is, we think with finite minds, trying to figure out the infinite. And God says, my ways are above your ways, and my ways are past your finding out. So it's just like you getting in your vehicle and saying, until I understand internal combustion engines, I'm not driving this car. Yeah, most of us would still be sitting home. Maybe a couple of us would understand it. And as soon as you understand it, guess what? Then they change it. Because now you have to be a computer engineer to be able to work on a car. Remember the day, Richard, of what they used to call shade tree mechanics? Anybody could do it. Yeah. I mean, if you could take things apart, put them. I can still take things apart. It's the other half I have problems with. Yeah. God says, I want them to comprehend. I'm not just a God of love. I'm a God of love. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Because I can fly faster than you can fall. Because there is nothing. I think we have a song that says, there is no hurt that heaven can't heal. There is no hurt that heaven can't heal. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in the loves of God, it's just which one do you need? See, Kate worked for a chiropractor on Fridays when we lived in Virginia Beach. She worked for a podiatrist. And a couple years ago, I had to have surgery. And if she got a chiropractor or a podiatrist, guess what? You would have been going, doesn't he look like himself? You have to go to a specific thing for a specific purpose. God says, guess what? I'm not that way. Whatever love you need at that time, and at some times, it's going to put you out for a while. Christine was talking about that in class. You know, sometimes I may put you on your back so that the only way you can look is up. Other times, you don't need the test. You need to be like Kay Price and have a testimony instead of the test. It doesn't matter. Both of them give glory to God. Because once the Spirit falls, and look, it was like a vice on my head when they were gone off in tongues. And both of them speaking in tongues, neither one saying the same thing, but both getting the results, I understood the... It doesn't matter. See, it doesn't... And I could have said, you know what, God? I'm not believing this, because what they did was wrong. It was just wrong. They know what I believe. They know I don't believe in this malarkey. How dare they come up and intrude on my space knowing I believe that that's a counterfeit? What do they think I am? Well, I'll tell you what they think I am. They think I'm somebody who, when the answer's in front of me, I want to go, whoop, whoop. Because I don't care what they're saying. I didn't understand that was Greek. Whatever they were saying was Greek. All I know, I was seeing English. And I was thanking God for it. The vehicle becomes the obstacle to us sometimes. And God says, will you stop saying... You know, when my second cousin, who's a well, probably dead now, but he was a cardinal in the College of Cardinals in Rome at the Vatican. And when my dad went to pick him up, he said, I ain't riding in a Chevy. In Rome, I ride a Mercedes and Cadillacs. So my dad said, oh, you only ride in Cadillacs? He said, that's right. He said, well, wait right here at the airport. And we went home. Yeah. That's, if you're not going to ride in a vehicle that came to get you, you can stay there. That's what God says. I'm here to heal you. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to give you a free battery. I'm here to reunite you with your daddy. I'm here to clean your arteries. And Kate could have sat there and said, I ain't going. I'm not going to do it. He knows I don't like going up in front of people. So does he. Okay, it's not about you. It's about him. It's not about the knee. It's about him. It's not about the hearing aid or the battery. It's about him. And Kay said to me, she said, It was right in the corner of the mat. You mean the one I took out and shook out? How did it get there? I'm just thankful it's there. I don't care the vehicle. I don't care if an angel brought it. I don't care if a Baptist brought it. I don't care who brought it. I'm just praising God. That's what God's trying to say. Accept the loves I have for you. And they're going to be changing every single day. Because today you may need mercy. Tomorrow you may need healing. The next day you may need compassion. The next day you just need a holy hug. But whatever it is you need, whatever love you need that day, I'm it. I saw a t-shirt that said, I'm here. What are your other two wishes? Yeah. That's what God says. I'm here. Tell me the desires of your heart. Well, God, it would be nice if... Now, that's not the desire. Yeah. I want to know, what is it that you want? Carol can tell you. Until you turn your children over, Kay can tell you. Until you let them go, he won't put his hands on them. Yeah. It's kind of like when we're driving, and Kay tells me the light's red or the light's green. Usually she tells me it's green when I'm stopped at a green light. But, you know, she can't move. She can say it's green all day. But I'm the one behind the wheel. And as long as I'm in control, she can tell me it's green all day long and nothing happening. Why? Because she's sitting in the passenger seat and the one driving ain't moving. I can get out and let her in, and then she can go on green, stop on red. I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but, you know, that's the way it is with God. As long as I saw a bumper sticker, if God is your co-pilot, switch positions. You know, unless I submit to him, see, that's the first step last week. The second step is accept what he brings. You know, what was that song we had Memorial Day? Some days are rough, some days are better. Now, that's the way it is with God. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. We will say it all the time. There's an awesome car, an awesome song, an awesome book, an awesomeness. There is nothing awesome except God. He is the only awesome thing there is. Because whatever it is that I need in my life, and I praise God for Dr. Cardone who did my surgery. You know, I praise God for him. But guess what? He didn't heal me. He didn't heal me. You know the position he put in me? Here's what he did to me. I couldn't do anything. Richard's been through it. Yeah, I remember Richard's blessing a few months back when he said, I can finally put my socks on. You needed an apparatus to put your socks on, for goodness sake. Dr. Cardone put me in the position where I could do absolutely nothing for myself. Nothing. To the point where they said, how do you do this? I said, well, they said, don't move your arm past here. Don't move your arm past here. That's the position he put. He didn't heal me. God used him to cut me. And he put me in a position where I realized if I'm going to eat, I couldn't get out of the chair. Mary helped me. She had a chair that lifts you up. Yeah. But that was, what, a weekend? Up until then, I couldn't get out of the chair. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but just because you have heart surgery, some things still have to go on. And you have to get up to do them. Now, once you do them, there's nothing you can do about it because you can't move your arms. But eventually, see, God healed. And I used to tell people, I hurt my arm. And before I hurt it, I could go like this. But now that it's hurt, I can only go like this. Yeah. See, God healed. And now, yeah, this arm, remember I told you before, this was paralyzed. Doctors told me I would never use my right arm again. Yeah. And I can either believe them or believe God. But as for me and my house, I know what it looks like, people. The world is falling apart. Politically, we're separated. Yeah. There's class wars, there's race wars, there's ethnic wars, there's financial wars. But guess what? We can all come together right here at the foot of the cross because all the ground is level. And there's enough power flowing from the wounds of Jesus because healing doesn't flow from the works of Dr. Cardone. Healing flows from the wounds of Jesus. It's the loves of God. Because whatever it is you need, He's got it. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we think about this, we need to submit. We know that. But Father, once we submit, we need to accept what it is you bring. Some days you bring joys. Other days, Father, burdens so heavy, our backs seem to break under the burden only because we won't accept the fact when you say, cast all your cares upon me, for I careth for you. Oh, Father, teach us not to hold on to anything this side of heaven, but to reach for what you provided. And what you've provided, Father, far outweighs anything this world can offer. Oh, Father, thank you for your promises and your power and your presence. Father, thank you for not having an arm that's too short to fulfill your promises. Thank you, Father, for what you've done and for who you've done it through. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. He says, youth may faint and grow weary, and young men may stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.